Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. We're here today to announce three separate cases highlighting the ongoing threat posed by Chinese economic espionage and research theft in the United States. First, the arrest today of a Harvard University professor for lying about his participation in a Chinese foreign recruitment program. Second, this morning we've unsealed a separate indictment of a Chinese national working as a scientific researcher at Boston University who failed to mention on her visa application that she is also a lieutenant with the People's Liberation Army. Finally, this office has indicted another Chinese national for trying to smuggle vials of biological material out of the United States to China and lying about it to federal investigators. That defendant, whose entry to the United States had been sponsored by Harvard University, was a cancer researcher at a lab at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. So, this morning, the FBI arrested Dr. Charles Lieber, the chair of the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Harvard University, for making false statements regarding his involvement in China's Thousand Talents Plan and his affiliation with the Wuhan University of Technology. The complaint alleges that Dr. Lieber signed a contract with the Chinese university in Wuhan and was paid up to $50,000 per month, plus up to $158,000 in living expenses, and awarded more than $1.5 million to set up a research lab at the Chinese school and work there on researching nanotechnology. Lieber also joined China's Thousand Talents Plan, according to the complaint, a Chinese government-run program designed to entice scientists and researchers in the United States to share their research expertise with China. At the same time, Dr. Lieber was receiving U.S. grant funds from the Department of Defense and the National Institutes of Health. National Institutes of Health spends up to $39 million a year funding medical research in the United States. Those programs required Dr. Lieber to disclose if he was working with, including receiving funding from, any foreign power. When questioned, Lieber hid his involvement with the Chinese entities, including specifically disavowing any connection to China's Thousand Talents Plan. Meanwhile, based on the complaint, it appears that China paid Lieber hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years for his involvement with the Chinese entities and for his work on research for Chinese gain. Also today, a federal grand jury indicted Yen Qingye, a Chinese national, with lying on her J-1 visa application, making false statements to Customs and Border Protection, conspiracy, and being an unregistered agent of the People's Republic of China. According to court documents, Ye is a lieutenant in the People's Liberation Army, but she concealed her military connections while employed as a researcher at Boston University's Department of Physics, Chemistry, and Biomedical Engineering Center for Polymer Studies. The indictment alleges that a colonel in the People's Liberation Army and other military officers from the Chinese National University of Defense Technology gave Ye numerous assignments while she was in the United States, such as conducting research, assessing U.S. military websites, and sending documents and information back to China. In April 2019, Ye was questioned by customs officers at Logan Airport on her way to China. According to the indictment, she lied about her involvement with Chinese military projects. A border search of her electronic devices showed that Ye had compiled information for the People's Liberation Army about two U.S. residents with expertise in robotics and computer science. Lastly, last week this office indicted Zheng Zhaozheng, a Chinese national sponsored by Harvard University, who was doing cancer research at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Zheng was charged with attempting to smuggle to Beijing vials of biological material, along with other research materials that he had stolen from the lab at the Beth Israel, where Zhang was working on cancer cell research. Before he boarded his flight, customs officers discovered 21 vials of biological material in a sock in his baggage. When confronted by the officers, Zheng initially lied and said he was not traveling with any biological or research materials. Chemistry, nanotechnology, polymer studies, robotics, computer science, biomedical research. This is not an accident or a coincidence. This is a small sample of China's ongoing campaign to siphon off American technology and know-how for Chinese gain. Recently, Attorney General Barr referred to China as this country's primary rival. Similarly, FBI Director Chris Wray recently told Congress that right now there is no country that poses a greater counterintelligence threat to the United States than China. So the use of not only traditional intelligence officers, but academics, researchers, its own private citizens, China is engaged in a massive, long-term campaign to steal U.S. research and technology for its own uses. As demonstrated by these cases, on the academic side, the Chinese government uses partnerships and exchanges with U.S. schools and research institutions to access cutting-edge research and equipment. Obviously, most visiting Chinese academics and researchers are here to work in good faith in U.S. institutions, but some of them are not. Some number have been incentivized by the Chinese government, either through the use of money or other means, to gather U.S. research and smuggle it back to China. Because of the sheer scope of this threat, a year ago, the Attorney General created the China Initiative at the U.S. Department of Justice, designed to prioritize and aggressively prosecute Chinese economic espionage and theft of intellectual property. The cases we are announcing today are part of that effort. Boston is an especially attractive target for this kind of exploitation, and universities and research institutions and tech companies in this area must become sensitized to this threat. Our community benefits greatly from the diversity and talent of international visitors and our partnerships with foreign institutions.
You guys barely missed out.
Well, we are back on the show tonight. Wow. A lot of good, interesting conversation tonight in regards to China. But anyway, before we get into that, I'd like to say hello to everybody. It's been a long day for me. My day starts like 4 o'clock in the morning. It don't end until about maybe 10 o'clock. I went to the store today, and people are in a panic right now. I've never seen people in a panic mode like I have seen them now. I'll be 50 on August 24th, Lord's willing, and I have never seen what I have seen. I mean, it's like I've seen it, see it in a movie, you know, but to see people in grocery stores panicking over food and toilet paper, and a lot of the aisles are empty with food, and it just makes me wonder, like, what's really going on right now? I seen these two people get into a fight at the grocery store. And it just brings some big safety concerns about what direction we're going right now as a country. It seems that there's going to be a food shortage. It seems that martial law is on its way. It seems that the National Guard is on its way. It seems to me that crime is going to go up. It seems to me that we as a people are really going to have to pull together as a people and figure this out. Now, you could be one that can rely on the government to make better decisions for you. I guess if that's who you are, that's true. But I think that you know, I'm just really concerned right now because I, from what I'm seeing, you know, just in the streets, what I'm seeing on television, what I'm seeing, the food shortage, water shortage, you know, we're gonna to D.C. dragging their feet on how to help the American people. Seems like the governors of each state took it upon themselves to just start this without, you know, because we're not moving fast enough. We have this out here, you know. I mean, there's 3 or 4 cases in Fresno. Los Angeles have shut down all of the casinos. The mayor, I was told, you know, has closed Disneyland, any entertainment facilities. I was told that if they haven't did it, that they are going to do it, close down the movie theaters. They're going to close down, you know, restaurants, bars. And I just feel that we're going towards a National Guard coming into our communities now. Schools are closed. Universities are closed. I mean, what do everyone think about this? I mean, is this something that concerns you, or maybe you're not concerned? I don't know. I'm just, you know, it was interesting because I went to the store today, and, you know, I don't have a lot of time during the day anyway to just, you know, hang out, so I try to fill in where I can. And I go to the grocery store, and I see people getting out their cars, like running to the store, you know, and I'm like, okay. Maybe they're in a rush, you know. But it's a panic. Like, everyone is running to get something out of the store before someone else get it. And I get that. Everyone want to make sure that their family is secure. But I was just told this evening that the governor of California is talking about, you know, counseling school for the rest of the year. I know Fresno Unified is closed. Central Unified is closed. I'm assuming Clovis Unified is closed. I'm really concerned about what's going to happen because, you know, people run out of food. That it takes every day, and no one is going to work. You know, the law comes in, everybody have to be off the streets. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, if I have stuff, you know, I give what I can. You know, I don't have a lot. I'm a single man. That was a bachelor. You know, I went and purchased some groceries today, but let me tell you something that's funny. Well, maybe it's not funny. I went in a grocery store, and usually when you go in grocery stores, the first thing you see is all the vegetables, right? So you push in your shopping cart, and you see the vegetables, apples, bananas, potatoes, you know, sweet potatoes, greens, carrots, da da da. It's stopped. It's completely stopped. Like, nobody is touching that, right? Excuse me. And I go to the meat department, and the entire meat department is like wiped out. So I said to myself, so everyone rather buy meat than to purchase vegetables. Just something to think about. And I said, well, you know, I try to eat healthy and, you know, do what I can. I have a juicer and things like that. And, you know, I went and purchased, like, I don't know, 20, 25 ears of collards and mustards and, you know, what have you, bananas and bell peppers and kiwi and red onions and green onions and lemons. And because, you know, I'm going back to how grandma used to live. Grandma preserved our food, you know. They canned food. So why did the old folks can food? Was because for a longer term, you know, we took tomatoes and she preserved them. She took pears, she took peaches, she took all these different, you know, vegetables. And we canned them, you know. Well, I'm not, Sister Nish, I'm not really talking about freezing vegetables. I'm talking about canning. Canning is different because that's what it is. You can it. You preserve it. You put it in. I was trying to see if I had. Let me see if I have it so I can show y'all what I'm talking about. Okay, I have a model. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. I'm sorry I had to leave, but I really wanted to show everybody what I'm talking about because it's getting to that time right now, right? I mean, the reality is if the grocery stores run out of meat, which I know a lot of us love to eat, and I'm not criticizing anyone. You know, we just can't put cows in our back. We can't just put hogs in our back and turn around doing this hard and say, well, you know, we're going to go in the back and we're going to kill a cow. I mean, that's just really unrealistic right now. So what I'm saying, what I'm saying and encouraging everyone to is really growing your own vegetables. I'd use it for a drinking cup or whatever, but you know, this is something that grandma used, right? And she would take peaches, and she would take plums, and she would take tomatoes, and we would make tomato juice and different things for her. To me, that's being, right? You just can't keep relying on food max and food for people, wherever else I'm going to get to the show. You know, if he said, look, you know, you guys are on your people that I know, friends of mine, colleagues of mine, Native Americans. They're the one. They're our family that know how to live off the land. I mean, when they were fighting Dakota, the pipeline fight from that pipeline fight they had back there, they were in 0 degrees fighting the government about that Dakota pipeline. They knew how to make it. PDP, they knew how to make themselves warm. So I'm trying to make people right. Government is cut off electricity and gas. I know how to make a campfire. Do you know how to boil water? I think we become too relaxed. And I think there's a way now for us to say, hey, you know, we got to go back the way our ancestors used to do in the country. I'm not looking at I want to get up and down. No, I'm not. No, I'm innocent right now. I'm innocent. When I say I'm innocent to the point where I'm just giving my perspective right now because I'm concerned about our people. I'm concerned about seeing every day. When I'm looking at people, they're in a panic mode. It's almost going that we have that already. Tanks to what we're going to have military, the National Guard, every city around the United States. There's going to be a curfew that people. I'm just telling you guys the truth right now. So when I talk about preserved food, okay? Hello?
Hi, this is from Jacobs.
Yeah. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. What I'm saying is that I believe during this time we're going to have to. I mean, listen. If let's say we have meat. We got chicken, we got pork, we got beef, we got whatever. Put it in the refrigerator because we know meat cannot just sit out without being refrigerated, right? So now the electricity goes off. We have no electricity now. What are you going to do with the meat? We can grow. Listen. Let me show you this. This is called, what is that? A bell pepper. Very long time to spoil. This is the food that I'm saying that we're going to have to preserve as people. Okay? We need to get ice chests. We need to get you're talking about homesteading pretty much old fashioned ways of living and making things like. Yeah, I am. I mean, because I'm telling you, my grandma used to jar plums and peaches and all kinds of stuff, and she had it in the shelf. And we could go 6-7 months and go to the shelf and pull it out and eat it. It was healthy. It was on time. So all I'm saying, family, to everyone is that... Hello? Okay. Be right there. What is everyone's thoughts about what they heard tonight? Was this virus that we're dealing with, was this something done intentional? Was this something that just happened out of nowhere? Is there someone responsible for this virus? Why was this virus created in the first place? I don't know. But what I do know is everybody in America is panicking right now. We don't know who has the virus. Well, I mean, we know some people have the virus. I mean, there's NBA players has the virus. I heard there was 3 cases here in Fresno. I'm hearing that the virus is airborne. Was this, I mean, when you look at the timing right now of the virus, you know, it's election time. That's here in November with Donald Trump. As we're going to vote him as his president now. I mean, was the virus created for that reason to, you know, put a halt on the election because we're in a national disaster? What? I mean, how do we get here? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How did we get here? March 17th, 2020. How did we get? I mean, we just came out of 2019. Here it is, 2020, and we're dealing with a virus that has basically shut down America right now. It has shut down the churches. It has shut down the school districts. It has shut down City Hall. It has shut down senior citizens from going to their day programs. It has, I mean, it's this, we are in a world of poop right now. And a lot of people are losing it. People are losing it. People are in the stores fighting over toilet paper. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I mean, this is something that you would like see in the movies or something. And then this guy reads this report, the FBI talking about they're indicting people and, you know, Harvard professors are involved in this and China gangs. And I'm like, wait a minute. How did we get here, folks? How did we get here? See, I'm really big on trust. Maybe you're not. I am. Because trust is not given. It's earned. And because the United States is such a powerful country, we have the supposedly the best, strongest military in the world. I mean, our military country, I mean, at the blink of an eye, intelligence all over, you know, countries and different things and other countries. I love to school, just stay out of school the rest of the year. I mean, how is this going to affect the education system of our children? First of all, well, the kids are not going to go back to school. Keep them out one day. Then the next day, oh, well, you know, it's okay for the kids to come back to school, to grab a lunch, get it, come back home, and go on out. Run back. I'm saying, okay, wait a minute. The reason you shut down the school system was because you didn't want the children to be exposed to the virus. Now you're saying they can go back to the school, grab a lunch, grab breakfast, go home, lunchtime, go back to school, grab a... And I get it that we have over 70 or 80%, I forget the number, 70, 80% of students, low-income students eating free breakfast. I get that piece, you know. Our seniors, you know, how are we going to get food to them? It seems like we're being reactionary to the standpoint of not, you know, still coming up with a strong plan forward together. People are very upset at the White House, the president, because it's like some say he knew about this 3 weeks ago. I don't know. It's just third-hand information that he drug his feet. Then the governors from each state just took it upon themselves to start making decisions for the people in their states because, you know, it's saying, hey, you know, I'm responsible for the state and the people in it. So, and then you have drop it down from the state to the local, you know, cities, city councils, board of supervisors, what have you. And, you know, it's like, so what are we going to do? I mean, in the other countries, they have, I mean, I'm looking, it's like, you know, like in Fresno, when we have like a DUI checkpoint and, you know, pull off the freeway and you have pull off the freeway and you have this checkpoint. And the checkpoint has these cops right there. And these cops, not now, too much noise. These cops then there to, you know, put, check this out. I'm just having a flashlight. So a cop in California have a flashlight. This is a banana flashlight, like a breathalyzer or something. So when they ask, you know, where are you coming from, da 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 da, you notice there's a car lighting around that. It's really a breathalyzer to see if you have any alcohol in your breath. But my point is, where there's swabbing people miles, you know, and you know, we haven't even gotten to that point yet. And I'm just gonna say Fresno. I'm not gonna say California because it seems like the bigger cities, Oakland, San Francisco, L.A., they're doing a lot of progressive things faster than we seem to do here in Fresno. So I'm not even sure. What we're doing here in Fresno. I really don't. So anyway, we have a caller on the line. We're just going to open up the lines right now. You can call in to 516-387-1474. I was talking about earlier real quick about us preserving food if we can. If you have, I mean, you can go to Google and find out how to preserve plums and peaches and things like that. I just want to encourage people to not just rely on the grocery stores right now, because right now, by the ship, if you're out of food, what I'm going to do, let me tell you what I'm going to do, and y'all can do what y'all want to do, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway, if you do it or not. I have a front yard and a backyard, okay? And it's raining right now, but it's going to warm up a bit. I'm going to take my flower bed, and I'm going to plant, give me one of those things right there. Just one of them. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant me some mustard greens in my flower bed, okay? Because I'm not going to depend on a Food Max, a Costco, a Winco, or anybody else. I'm going to
playing. I'm going to be paying on Floyd Cole, Floyd Max, okay? Floyd Costco, all right? These are the green ones right here. Give me them other ones over there. Right there. These are greens right here. These are collards right here. Y'all see that? These are collards, all right? So I'm going to cook some greens and collards. And give me the cornbread up there. All right. I went and bought over 30 of these. See this right here? This is cornbread, okay? This is Jiffy cornbread. Now, y'all can sit around here and wait on Costco, all my people, but I'm not waiting on nobody. I'm taking it upon myself to feed my family, do what I got to do to survive through this crisis right now. And I'm just encouraging all y'all. I'm going to take my front yard and my backyard. I'm going to get me some, here, put this back over. I'm going to get me some, I bought over 30 of these right here, single ones, 30 of them today. I'm going to give me some irrigation line. I'm going to plant me some corn. I'm going to plant me some bell peppers. I'm going to plant me some watermelons. I'm going to plant me some cucumbers. I'm going to plant me some eggplants. I'm going to plant everything that I can. Now, let me tell you, after I do that, I'm going to share it with my neighbors. That's community. So I'm not just growing all of this just for myself. I'm growing it for my community. See, my next door neighbor she's a diabetic. She's on dialysis, right? So 5 times a week, she has to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning and they take her to dialysis, all right? Now, wouldn't it just make her heart happy that today I take her over a bag of greens? That's community, folks. That's community, okay? And if we all, I mean, my cousin Jeremiah in Los Angeles, he's doing backyard gardens right now. Huge, huge, blessing the whole community. People in the community doing backyard gardens too, okay? These are Harrises, okay? We are Harrises, okay? We don't wait on anyone. We lead by example. As I go to my call in 516-3871. Not kill all the animals and eat them, and no more to doesn't take anything to take some mustard seeds and just water the ground, get a rake it, put some mustard seeds on the ground, collard seeds, sprinkle it with water, and I promise you, in 2 to 3 days, you're going to see mustards coming up like this. And they'll be real big. And then you can eat that. And so, as we talked about earlier, you know, we need to start living in survival mode. Because if PG&E cut off the gas, you better know how to make a campfire to make you some boiling water. We are in survival mode right now, folks. I just got some people in my neighborhood come up, ask me to do my food truck. Got any food on it? I said, not today. Yeah, I'm telling you, this food thing is going to be a real serious thing. We're going to have people breaking in our homes, not to just hurt you, but to get some food. Listen, if you don't have food, man, food, y'all think drug addicts or something, you get somebody hungry, you'll see another side of them. What about camping stoves? Yeah, camping stoves are great too, Sister Tanisha. Yeah. I'm just saying we got to start being proactive, okay, instead of reactive. We good as black folks and other folks. We're good at being reactive. I'm saying let's be proactive. All right, let's figure out what we need. Let's figure out maybe we need to go buy some what do you call them thing, the camping things where you sleep in. I forget the name of them. Camping sleeping bags and, you know, it's just different things, you know. Professor, people have been indicted, people have been arrested, FBI is, I mean, it's crazy. We have people in panic mode. We have people maybe not taking this serious enough. We have the grocery stores are running out of food. What are we doing? I mean, I really, the mayor of LA told restaurants, grocery being shut down. Don't even come out the house. So how is that psychologically? How are they handling that? You know, they're used to going to work. Now they can't go to work because they have asthma or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's bothering them. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, I'd like for someone to help me out because I'm like tripping out, like, you know, what's going on? I mean, what do we do? Phone is breaking up. Okay. All right. Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Are you there? Hello.
Hello.
All right. We hear you.
Hello.
Go ahead. Run with it.
Okay. Yeah, your phone was breaking up during some of what you were saying. But what
yeah,
was the question that you posed?
I'm always being censored, so that's nothing new. I mean, I'm the only
right.
person in Fresno that's censored by Blog Talk, Fresno B, who else? California Advocate. Just keep going.
Man.
Censored Harris, you know. We have nothing better else to do. So here's my question. My question is that I would just, I don't know if you heard me about me talking about the food. I don't want to go through that piece again. But
I heard you talking about it, most of it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so what I was talking about was that we need to figure out as a community, block by block, community by community, how are we going to deal with this crisis right now? Because the National Guard is on their way. So one sister said, we are praying, preacher. We're reading our word. Okay, great. We need that too. We need to pray. Yes, we do. And we need to read our word. Yes, we do. But at the same time, when food run out, what are we going to do? That's why I'm saying that we need to start planting food at our homes right now. That's what I mean. Other words, the mayor of L.A. said that the L.A. Lakers can't play no more. They shut down all the movie theaters. Restaurants, they're asking them to close their doors. The bars, they're asking them to close their doors. The stores, I was told, that is running out of food. So that means where do we get our food? Are we getting it from another country? Are we getting it from China? Where are we getting our food? So does that mean that the trucking industry, the transportation, is going to shut down in America? Because they're telling everybody to get off the streets. So how are we going to transport food if there's no trucks, no transportation? Is the railroad companies going to stop transporting, you know, cars and different things from state to state and city to city? The hospitals, they're going to be overwhelmed with folks who are sick. The school districts, I know Fresno Unified is closed. I know Central is closed. I'm assuming Clovis Unified is closed if the other ones are closed. Where do we go from here? I mean, I'm seeing the walls caving in here. I'm seeing people panicking. I go to the store today, people getting out their cars and running to the store like a dog is chasing them. You get in the stores, there's nothing on the shelves. What do we do? What do we do?
Well, I mean, immediately, even if you plant a garden, you know, you're looking at several weeks before you can benefit from that garden.
Yeah.
So I'm immediately, I believe some relief need to come through. You know, I saw a petition. Number one, being knowledgeable about what's going on in different ways you can, you know, just protect your family, not just from the coronavirus, but just from getting sick in general. You know, better eating habits, better hygiene or more frequent hygiene practices. And I do have some resources that I'm going to post that came out today in the Fresno Bee that talked about different places where you can get food and food boxes being prepared. I don't know if people have been following the news, but, you know, supposedly Donald Trump is planning to send out every family in America, you know, $1,000 to be able to offset or keep the economy boosted over the next 3 weeks. Is that enough to help people in distress? You know, no, we need things from the local level to the state level to the federal level to kick in, especially for the states that's been identified, like California, as being one of those that has a high probability of having, you know, many cases of coronavirus and spreading the coronavirus. So I think getting educated, identifying those resources, our local, putting the pressure on, if they're not already doing it, putting the pressure on our local, state, and federal government to put different type of rent controls, emergency rent control in place to be able to stop landlords from evicting anybody, you know, over the course of this crisis. And then also our food banks and our schools working together to provide something. The schools provided lunches up until today, if I'm not mistaken, but what after today? Central said they'll feed any kid, you know, Central Unified School District. So really all of these entities have to come together and be able to access the resources to give out and distribute to the community, especially those who have, you know, lost their jobs or have, you know, had to be off of work, no pay, no sick leave, no vacation that can be utilized. You know, these are documentable things that we should be having funding and resources in place to help those folks through this time, and not something where they have this big debt that they have to incur after, a sort of like an emergency aid that includes rent not being able, residents not being kicked out because of rent that they can't pay due to job loss or layoff, food baskets that are given out, utilities. PG&E said they won't cut off any shutoffs during this time, so making sure our utilities, you know, are up and running and giving folks a break, because a lot of people, their bills didn't get cut in half, their bills didn't disappear when their jobs were put on hold or they were laid off because of the coronavirus. So I think civically, that's what our leaders and elected officials from local to federal government need to do and put in place immediately.
So
and we'll keep sending out
updated
information also.
So do you feel that our local government here, so I'm going to use Fresno City Council, Mayor Office, and Board of Supervisors, do you feel from your perspective that they have moved very swiftly, very quickly, and really has engaged the community to have them be part of the process of trying to figure out how we're going to work this together as a city?
No, because really the front line has been those grassroots communities, those grassroots reporters, those grassroots leaders. Community Alliance, they put information out about it that to me was more responsible than, you know, what the Fresno Bee just really came out with their article today with resources today. You know, but Kayla Moon, an independent writer who often writes columns for Community Alliance, it was Sunday when she, you know, said, hey, these are some precautions, these are some of the facts. You know, don't panic. This is how you prepare. You know, it's taken us grassroots folks, you doing the show the last couple of nights, you know, telling people, hey, what's going on, getting their perspective. And now we need to start naming resources and places for people to get help.
So the governor of California seems like he's on top of, seems that way, that he's on top of his state trying to figure out what needs to be done collectively. They're not waiting on Donald Trump. Seems like the governors across the country is very disappointed in the White House on how swiftly they have moved, which they haven't moved swiftly at all. And we have people who are suffering. Now, this virus piece, conversation when it comes to, I'm told that it's airborne. I'm told, I'm not a doctor, I'm just going off third-hand information, that it's airborne, that it lives in the cold, the winter. It doesn't not really live in the heat, the summertime. We're a long ways from time. Some folks' theory is that the Trump, some probably suffered hands in it to call a national disaster, whatever you call that, to where we can't pick a new president. It's just a lot of things that, you know, people are saying, you know. But meanwhile, we have our homeless community, who is the most vulnerable, who is living out in the streets, who are living under garbage cans, who is living under trees. Who's talking about them? Who's worried about them right now? Are we going to be setting up FEMA camps? Are we going to be setting up concentration camps? Where we're going to isolate certain people, you know, because they may be contaminated. I mean, what is the plan? I mean, I haven't heard someone in Fresno say, okay, we got a testing center over here at Cedar and Kings Canyon. Whoever want to be tested, come over here, get tested, blah, 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 blah. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. I have not.
But, I mean, to just shut everything down, okay, but what is the proactive piece on how, it just seems to me, and this is just me talking, it just seems to me that people just shutting things down without a plan, not having things in place, it sounds, it looks good, probably to some people, but we're really unorganized here in Fresno. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said we're unorganized, but it just seems that way to me.
Okay, yeah.
Someone just wrote something. They are trying to get hotels to house them, but they have not been put in place yet.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a start, but where do we go with those who want to be tested? Do we have test centers that if I want to be tested, where do I go? I mean, am I going to be charged to be tested? You see what I'm saying? It's just too many loose ends on here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And now we get this report that they're talking about this and conspiracy and people working in labs and China gangs and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, what do we do? What do we do? We're going to be trapped in our own homes. I mean, have you heard that the city of Fresno, like, you know, I heard PG&E say, you know, hey, because of this crisis, we're not going to cut off anyone's electricity. Well, okay, thank you. But when the crisis is over, everybody just going to have a big bill, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a big bill and try to figure out, save money. I mean, because right now, I every penny is crucial. I mean, we may have to start doubling up in homes now and tripling up in homes now. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just thinking outside the box. How do we get through this crisis together as a community? Okay, someone wrote something else. Today in Las Vegas, almost every casino on the strip has shut their doors. What happens to those workers? How are they to survive? That's a great question. Today in Las Vegas, almost every casino on the strip have shut their doors. What happens to those workers? How are they to survive? How do they feed their families? What will 45 do for them? That's a great question. Great question.
You know, 45 don't seem to have too many plans, period. Other than, okay, I'll just throw some money out there. Well, that might help for a week. But we're talking about a crisis that is we're looking at going on for months.
Okay, so I'm going to read some of the comments here. You guys bear with me. We have a lot of people online tonight. Thank you all for calling in tonight, listening. Please share the show with anyone, please. This is your show. Hey, Crystal, Hannah, Bill, Tanisha, Walter, Janice Summer. Thank you, Jervis Cole. Thank you, brother. Ito, Denise. Okay, so no one said anything up there. Okay, Carmela, thank you, Tina, Sister Denise, Tanisha, Jessica, thank you. Tanisha said, well, that's good. Canning is being, what's she say? Well, that is good. Canning is being a lost art. That really is a great way to go about things. Okay, thank you, sister. Mabel, Tony, thank you all. Okay. Fox, thank you. Tanisha, you're talking about homestead, pretty much old-fashioned ways of living and making things last. Yeah. Eddie, thank you. Leah, Jasmine, thank you. R.B., my barber, thank you, bro. Chisholm, thank you. Jessica, thank you. Cousin Sean from Colorado, thank you, sir. Sean Harris, I just had some people in my neighborhood come up to me and ask me, do my food truck got any food on it? I said, not today. Going to bring my truck out to my food. This is a shame. Thank you, cuz. That's the person right there. When we see people in need, you know, he said not right now, but he said he's going to go through and see what he has, and he's going to make sure that he's going to get food. Thank you, cuz. God bless you. Camping schools, church,
early teaches food storage and self-reliance, but it's hard to do with low income. Yeah, that's true. Lucille, thank you. Lucille said, we praying, preacher. All right. We read our word. Okay. Tony, we will not be given straight answers. This administration will continue to the country. That's true. Jeannie, thank you. We washing our hands. Yeah, we need to wash our hands. Yeah. Wash our hands and we put our hands in our mouths. We need to stop eating out, you know. We're going to work to live through these issues. That's right. Saul, yes. Yes, we do need to plant. Yes, we do. We need to plant gardens around our house. Very easy to do. If you need help, contact me. Let me know. I'll get over there. My Freedom School kids or whoever. We have faith that God got us and not forsake us. It is not going to be fear. It's going to be fear or faith. That's true. I'm riding on faith. That's my word. It's true. Correct. Tony, let's be honest. This $1,000 that is being promised to people is not going to take you far. That's true. This government has basically dropped the ball in our lap with no clear help in sight. That's true. Practicing forbearance will get us started on our own gardens. Yep. Matter of fact, I have seeds. If anybody wants seeds, I have a lot of mustard seeds, collard seeds, whatever. So if you need seeds, hit me in my inbox. I'll be happy to share our Freedom School seed. This is while we are healthy and water is flowing. Correct. They are trying to get hotels to house. Okay, the homeless. We haven't put it in place. Yeah, okay. Thank you for that information. Okay, Tony said today in Las Vegas, the strip, all the businesses on the strip is closing. What about the workers? How are they going to survive and bring food, pay their bills that they have and their obligations? How do they feed the families? What will 45 do for them? Okay, Lucille, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind. Okay, sister, we need that. Faith is an action word. All right, sister, you sound like y'all preaching now. I need to get my organist over here. I have them playing E flat for y'all. Okay, faith without works is dead. Okay, now. Woo! Well, hammer down on them. They don't even got to preach Sunday. Okay, 45 claims his response team are earning. 45 claims his response team are earning tens. How, for what? What positive moves are they making? Okay, faith. Lucille, faith comes by hear and hearing by the word of God. Okay, I want some mustard. All right. Okay, all right. First request of mustard seeds. All right, we got you. Thank you, Betty, for tuning in. Just wanted to acknowledge all of those who have called in. You taking the time out to listen to our show. You know, we're just concerned. You know, we're not here to beat up on no one or say anyone is wrong or right. It's a show that we do critical thinking. We do research. We talk about things. We want to make sure that we have a healthy community and that we don't see anybody suffer. I gave 2 gallons of water, some plates, utensils to someone. You know, I had it and I gave it. You know, and that's what we do. But caller, let me ask this as we get ready to close the show. Today is the 17th. Today is the 17th. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have 14 days before we hit April.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see happening in the next 14 days?
Well, I'm hoping that the knowledge spread, the right kind of knowledge, like what we're putting out there, just to empower people to, you know, act responsibly. Don't act like you're powerless, you know, in this situation. There are things that we can do. And really putting the pressure on local officials to provide aid, you know, provide aid here to the people that need it most. And the people that's really impacted by this, which is our elderly and those who are being laid off, you know, our children. We need something in place for them. If Fresno Unified can, you know, waste millions of dollars on stuff they don't need to, why don't they start placing on things that can help? Like, they need to be contracting out with Xfinity to provide Wi-Fi to every home that has a Fresno Unified student in it. And not only that, but being able to give access to check out some kind of tablets or Chromebooks to do some online education or providing sites that they would go on. So I just it might have caught people off guard, but, you know, we can also do things to get prepared. And so this next 2 weeks is crucial, you know, in identifying what are we going to do, what's the plan, and putting it into place, not we got to do this and we got to vote that. No, release these funds, release what can be released. Usually a city have a surplus of something that they keep on hold, you know. So release those type of things to the public. And then those that are going through things with their job may not be paid and have to take off, file for unemployment, you know, like right away. Because if the, according to the Fresno Bee article, they're making that available. Even if you are supposed to return to work within the next couple of weeks, you know, don't take that for granted. Apply for unemployment. If you have to stay home because of your kids, you don't have child care and so forth, to return to work, file for unemployment. Like, these are things that our employers pay for, and we need to take advantage of them during this time. So just taking the precautions that we can take and not feeling like we're helpless and that it's nothing that we can do to prepare and make this as least of an impact as possible.
One of the things that I'm concerned about is communication. Like, we're communicating tonight. We're on Blog Talk Radio worldwide. We're live streaming worldwide. We also have access to podcasts. If for some reason our communication lines go down, PG&E go down, towers go down, we're not going to be in a good shape.
Yeah, some radio waves. Like, you're right. We need to start identifying it, because radio waves usually are the only means of communication when there's something like that. So even establishing those stations where people could get information, updated information, then somebody in the community get updated information. I like what Tanisha put, that, you know, maybe this is just having us go back to some ways that was more self-sustainable, where we wasn't so dependent on employers and the government to be able to sustain our households and, you know, and pay our bills.
So exactly.
I see some good things coming out of this too, if we make it.
So one of the things that we're going to do on our end is we're going to try to find the resources that is available for the community here locally, and maybe those have family that may listen to our show that have family here in Fresno. What we're going to do, go to resources, and then our live streaming and our blog talk and podcast and whatever else we do with technology. And we're going to share those resources with our community so that we make sure that you are empowered. We want to make sure that you have things at your disposal for as resources for your family and your children. We want to make sure that whatever resources that EOC have, that you have. We want to make sure whatever the city of Fresno should have, we're going to make sure that you have that information as well. We have to be our brothers and sisters keepers for everyone. This is not a time where it's about I. This is not a time it's about me. This is a time it's about us. This is a time of togetherness. This is a time of unity right now, because if you don't, you know what? I don't care how much money you make right now. That doesn't faze me. Your title doesn't faze me at all. What you drive doesn't faze me at all. What you live in doesn't faze me at all. What will get my attention and what fazes me is for you to empower and support someone else, and that we work together as a community. As we said earlier, yes, there's a role of the government, should play a big role, but at the same time, we have to understand that, you know, if the government decides that they don't want to play a role, then we're on our own. We're on our own. And we have to figure it out. And that's why I talked about the canning and different things like that. And we teach that in our Freedom School, how to can and how to make jelly and stuff like that, because we got to go back to the old ways. You know, I'm going to call my Native American family and ask them, you know, will they come and teach us, you know, how to make a campfire? Well, they come and teach us, you know, maybe I take my front yard and we just do a camp out in my front yard and you know, just say, hey, you know, we don't have no restroom. We don't have no stove. We don't have, you know, so what do we do? You know, what do we do? You know, I think we have come too relaxed. We have come too complacent. We have come too lazy, because air conditioning, a stove, oven. What if you don't have that? What are you going to do? Are you going to go away? Because if you don't have that, and that really puts you on the same level, it's almost being homeless, like people, a homeless family just living on the street. I bet your homeless community know how to survive. I bet you they won't have no problem. I bet you they won't panic. People who are panicking are the people who have everything, have a house, have a car, have central units. That's are the folks who are panicking. Do not forget about social Don't forget about social distancing. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm just saying, folks, as we get ready to close our last 5 minutes, I'm gonna go ahead and play the last of this, so that some of you who just came, I'm going to play this clip that just came out today. You be the judge. You be the judge of it. What this gentleman is saying about the corruption and about what's going on in China and all that good stuff. I'm going to say good night to everybody. We'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm going to get those resources for all of you guys tomorrow.
Morning. We're here today to announce 3 separate cases highlighting the ongoing threat posed by Chinese economic espionage and research theft in the United States. First, the arrest today of a Harvard University professor for lying about his participation in a Chinese foreign recruitment program. Second, this morning we have unsealed a separate indictment of a Chinese national working as a scientific researcher at Boston University, who failed to mention on her visa application that she is also a lieutenant with the People's Liberation Army. Finally, this office has indicted another Chinese national for trying to smuggle vials of biological material out of the United States to China and lying about its federal investigators. That defendant, whose entry to the United States had been sponsored by Harvard University, was a cancer researcher at a lab at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. So, this morning, the FBI arrested Dr. Charles Lieber, the chair of the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Harvard University, for making false statements regarding his involvement in China's talents. Set a research lab at the Chinese there on research and technology. We're also joined China's thousands of companies. The Chinese government designs scientists and research. At the same time, Dr. Lieber states, those programs required Dr. Lieber to disclose if he was working with, including receiving funding from, any foreign power. When questioned, Lieber hid his involvement with the Chinese entities, including specifically disavowing any connection to China's Thousand Talents plan. Meanwhile, based on the complaint, it appears that China paid Lieber hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years for his involvement with the Chinese entities, and for his work on research for Chinese gain. So today, a federal grand jury indicted Yenqing Ye, a Chinese national, with lying on her J-1 visa application, making false statements to Customs and Border Protection, conspiracy, and being an unregistered agent of the People's Republic of China. According to court documents, Ye is a lieutenant in the People's Liberation Army, but she concealed her military connections while employed as a researcher at Boston University's Department of Physics, Chemistry, and Biomedical Engineering Center for Polymer Studies. The indictment alleges that a colonel in the People's Liberation Army and other military officers from the Chinese National University of Defense Technology gave Ye numerous assignments while she was in the United States, such as conducting research, assessing U.S. military websites, and sending documents and information back to China. In April 2019, Ye was questioned by customs officers at Logan Airport on her way to China. According to the indictment, she lied about her involvement with Chinese military projects. A border search of her electronic devices showed that Ye had compiled information for the People's Liberation Army about two U.S. residents with expertise in robotics and computer science. Lastly, last week this office indicted Zheng Zhaozhong, a Chinese national sponsored by Harvard University, who was doing cancer research at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Zheng was charged with attempting to smuggle to Beijing vials of biological material, along with other research materials that he had stolen from the lab at the Beth Israel, where Zhang was working on cancer cell research. Before he boarded his flight, customs officers discovered 21 vials of biological material in a sock in his baggage. When confronted by the officers, Zheng initially lied and said he was not traveling with any biological or research materials. Chemistry, nanotechnology, polymer studies, robotics, computer science, biomedical research. This is not an accident or a coincidence. This is a small sample of China's ongoing campaign to siphon off American technology and know-how for Chinese gain. Recently, Attorney General Barr referred to China as this country's primary rival. Similarly, FBI Director Chris Wray recently told Congress that right now there is no country that poses a greater intelligence than the United States. But not only traditional intelligence, cases. On the academic side, the Chinese government uses partnerships and exchanges with U.S. schools and research institutions to access cutting-edge research and equipment. Obviously, most visiting Chinese academics and researchers are here to work in good faith in U.S. institutions, but some of them are not. Some number have been incentivized by the Chinese government, either through the use of money or other means, to gather U.S. research and smuggle it back to China. Because of the sheer scope of this threat, a year ago, the Attorney General created the China Initiative at the U.S. Department of Justice, designed to prioritize and aggressively prosecute Chinese economic espionage and theft of intellectual property. The cases we are announcing today are part of that effort. Boston is an especially attractive target for this kind of exploitation, and universities and research institutions and tech companies in this area must become sensitized to this threat. Our community benefits greatly from the diversity and talent of international visitors and our partnerships with foreign institutions.